Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We're going to be talking about marriage today, specifically a statement that goes like this. My marriage would be better if only. My marriage would be better if only. Well, if only what? Well, there's a lot of things. What I'm going to do, we're going to cover 21 things that have come out of our surveys on marriage that we've given before. We've asked people, said, my marriage would only be better if only what? And they have listed these, so we recorded these to let you know a couple of things. Number one, all things are common to all people. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody faces something. Everybody has to go through something. Everybody gets to overcome something. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 that says this. Jesus was talking, Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. One translation says, blessed are the problem solvers, for they shall be called the children of God. In other words, in your marriage, are you a problem solver? Are you a problem maker? Am I a peacemaker or a peace taker? What am I? You know, I'm one or the other. And what God says, he said, we're blessed if we are the problem solvers. In other words, he said, we're called the children of God if we're problem solvers. Well, you know, there's another scripture that says, the way I know I'm a child of God is if I'm led by the Spirit of God. In other words, how do I know I'm a child? Well, because the Spirit of God is leading me. Where's he leading me? Well, the Bible says he's going to lead me and guide me into all truth. Show me things to come. Order my steps. Direct my paths. You know, it's a good thing that he's leading me. He's leading me to good places. I said, if to be a problem solver, I will need to be led by the Spirit of God, because every day we face challenges and problems in our life we've never faced before. Now, I've never been this old, had this many children this old, had this many employees, had to write this many big checks, had this many decisions to make. Every day you and I face things in our life we've never faced before, and we don't have the answers for it because it's something new. But the Word of God says God has the answer. He's been there. God's been 5 days ahead of us, 5 hours, 5 weeks, 5 months. God has seen our future. That's why he said nothing's ever come upon us that he has not already made a way of escape or a way out of it. So God knows whatever I'm facing. My deal is we did a teaching one time called Why Couples Fight. And the reason they fight is because they disagree on authority. Who's in charge? Am I in charge here? Or are you in charge? And the question you're supposed to be asking instead of, you know, who's in charge is, what does God want to do about this? God has a plan for this situation we're in. Whatever it is, good, bad, whether I did it, the devil did it, the world did it, whatever I'm in, God has a plan for getting me out. So the question should be is not who's going to make the decision, but what do you think God wants us to do in this situation? And then when you get to that point, now we're ready to do something. So what we want to do, and we're going to cover the 21 top things that married couples say, you know, when we ask the question, my marriage would be better if only what? The number one thing that came up the most is if I was out of debt. My marriage, our marriage would be better if only we were out of debt, because it consumes our every waking moment. You know, it's constantly in front of us. We have to deal with it. Now, we've talked about it before, about how to clean up your credit, about how to have a budget. There are some incredible teachings in your local Christian bookstore, your local church. Now, I'm telling you, God's got a way to remedy that situation. You didn't get in overnight, you don't get out overnight, but you will get out. So I tell people the first thing you need to do about a debt or is you're going to have to get a budget. Find out how far you're in debt, how far you're going in debt, how much do you owe, own, earn, and where does it go? Getting a budget is the first biblical law. Being obedient to that law, being get you blessed, by the way, is the first biblical law of financial prosperity. Find out where my money is. We've quoted it so many times in these series. Proverbs 24, verse 4, you will profit wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. First step on getting out of debt is get a budget, see where your money's going, and then you'll be able to take proper action. Number two, my marriage would be better if only we had better relationships with our stepchildren. If I only had a better, my spouse loves me, it's my stepkids that don't love me. Well, I know you had explained to, and surely you've understood it, that when you go into that, you know, you've not been dating the stepchildren, you've been dating the spouse. You've been dating your wife, your husband, whoever it is in that relationship. You've established a relationship with them. You'll have to do the same thing with the stepkids. Plus, they've got baggage they're bringing. You're the new person on the block, good or bad. And even though you may not be the biological parent, you're just as legally the parent in God's eyes and the government's eyes and anybody else's eyes as though you were the biological parent, so you just need to act like it. Okay, you need to treat them with love and with respect and with authority and do what you're supposed to do because it's just right. I'm not trying to win you over. I'm not trying to even win your affections. I'm trying to do what's right in every situation and judgment I'm making. I'm trying to see that you have a safe life, that you're provided for, that you have a good life, that I'm pointing you in the right direction. So don't get into playing Santa Claus with your stepchildren on, well, if I can just give enough, do enough, laugh enough, get them to love me. Listen, love is a choice, not a feeling. It's a choice. They'll eventually have to make a choice. And God will bring them to that point. So don't get caught up in the competition. You know, my marriage would only be better. Well, I have a saying that I've heard for years. Marriage is forever. Children are passing through. Your children will not be with you forever. But hopefully your spouse will. So keep working on that relationship. And I've seen many a family where they've gotten into the stepkids. If they had love on their spouse, always, almost without exception, the children usually always came around because it's how much they love mom or dad or whoever's in the situation. Number three, my marriage would be better if only we had more vacation time. Well, everybody loves more vacation time. Some people just like to have a vacation. Some people haven't had one ever. You know, and the only way you're going to get one is by scheduling one. You have not because you ask not. You ever thought about God? We haven't had a vacation in years, and if we had time, I don't think we've got the money to go there. You know, you ought to get together with your spouse, start praying, Lord, we'd like to have a vacation, and pick out a place. Send off for a brochure, drop by a travel agency, just get some. It's just dreaming anyhow. You don't have to have the money to dream. And just start making plans and watch to see if God will not open up doors of opportunity for you. But you are the one that's going to be responsible for starting it. Number four says, my marriage would be better if only this. My marriage would be better if we had more romance, you know, more romance and more fun. Well, fun's a strange thing, I'll tell you. We taught a series years ago called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. One of them is a strong sense of humor. How we talked about how the average child lasts 400 times a day, but the average adult only lasts 15 times a day. That what happened to 385 times? Well, you wait, you grow up. Life gets tough. There's responsibilities and bills to pay. If you're going to have romance, you're going to have to work on it. Most marriages end up maintenance relationships. You know what that is? Instead of talking romantically with one another, I love you, you're sweet, you're pretty, you're handsome, you're funny, you end up thinking, well, you know, what needs to be paid and who needs to be dropped off? Who needs to be picked up? What needs to be done? You know, where does this need to go? And pretty soon, you stop talking romantically. It's just a choice. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a decision. It's just a choice. Little irritations spring up. You get irritated with each other. And all of a sudden, there's no more romantic. There's no romantic time because there's no romantic words or thoughts. And that way, there's not much fun, you know, if you're just tolerating each other. So that is a choice. You know, you can go to, I recommend it to many of our men in our men's retreats. They've got a great book called 1001 Ways to Be Romantic. You can find it at your local bookstore. It has absolutely nothing to do with sex, although it could lead to that when you're married, you know, if you're romantic. The thing is learning how to talk, be nice, be courteous. Think about the other person besides thinking about you. And that's a choice that you get to make. Number five says, my marriage would only be better if my spouse was happier. If my spouse was happier. Let me give you a short answer to this that I tell people in our seminars. Your spouse's happiness is not your responsibility. Your spouse's happiness is not your responsibility. You are not the stand-up comedian. You're not the town clown. You're not the circus clown. You're not Bozo. Well, their happiness is going to be dependent on them. That is an individual choice, not the responsibility of somebody else. Somebody wrote a sad letter to us last year. A lady, she said, my husband, I just got a divorce after 10 years. I married him thinking it was his job to make me happy, and he married me thinking it was my job to make him happy. And he didn't, and I didn't, and we didn't. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the Bible that says part of the responsibility of a married person is to make the other person happy. I'm not an entertainer. That's my job. I chose to love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, hang out with you, do things. But whether you're happy or not will be an individual decision, not mine. That'll be up to you. You choose what kind of attitude you've got, how you react to things. That is not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to make me happy, your job for you to be happy. Can't make each other happy. It says, my marriage would be better, number six, if we could accept our differences. What's that? Well, that's just part of growing up. 1 Peter 3 talks about dwelling with each other according to knowledge. Listen, accepting each other's differences, that's a lifetime process because you're going to continue to change. You're not going to stay the same. You're not going to be the same person 5 years from now than you are today. You're going to be different. So if my spouse accepts me today, you're going to have to re-accept me 5 years from now because I'm going to be different. I'm going to grow. I'm not going to stay the same. I have different ideas, different values. So that accepting thing, that's just the 1 Corinthians 13, walking in love, writing down no record of wrongs done, you know, preferring one another. You just got to go through and read what it says there in that love chapter in Corinthians about how you're to act. And that's a choice, not a goosebump, not a feeling. Number seven says, my marriage would be better if only we could go to church together. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that talk about that, particularly spouses and wives. So, well, you know, we'd be so much happier. husband would just go to church. And I said, well, is he abusive to you? Well, no, no. Was he beating on you or anything? No, no. Is he work? Oh, yeah, good worker, good provider. I said, then you need to just go to church by yourself and thank God. You know, it talks about how you win an unbelieving spouse over in Corinthians. It said, if you're pleased to dwell with them, dwell with them. You know, don't try to win them over with your nagging or with your preaching, 1 Peter 3 says. Do it with your lifestyle. Just love on them. Just be thankful you got a good provider or a good spouse or whatever, a good mother. And let God do that. It's God that draws, not men. You're not going to force them into church or force them to be religious, force them to get saved. God does that. Your job is just to walk in love toward them. And let God take care of the other part. Listen, going to church by yourself does not hinder God from answering your prayers, moving in your family's life. All he needs is you and him to get in agreement. Number 8, it says, my marriage would be better if only that my spouse realizes that God speaks to me also. Well, usually what that is just that's one of those destructive traits, you know, that marriages get into. And it's usually intimidation, domination, manipulation, and all the nations, you know. It means I don't want to talk, so I'm going to try to dominate you, intimidate you, manipulate you, so we don't have to engage in conversation. And what happens is that's usually just a defense mechanism. Listen, whether they ever admit it or not, God talks to you. Where they admit it, where they realize it, God talks to you. You just keep listening to God and doing what you know to do, and they'll get the point eventually. God, just pray, God, take that blindness off their minds in Jesus' name. Number 9, says, my marriage would be better if only we respected each other more. Well, you know, respect is a choice, just like love. You know, respect is something that's just a choice. And sometimes I think you have to call those things that be not as though they are. God sent an angel to get him to call him a mighty man of courage when he was a wimp hiding in a hole. God called those things that be not as though he called him what he was going to become, not what he was. He just spoke the word of God over him. God spoke his word over him. So I tell spouses, just say what God says about your spouse. You know, I just thank God you've got the mind of God, the wisdom of God. You're going to lead our family. You're going to provide. You're going to nurture our kids because that's what God says you are. I'm going to say what God says you are, you know, to build that respect back in. Number 10, my marriage would be better if only we communicated without arguing. Well, I don't know how you ever do that completely because, you know, it takes conflict for growth. You know, Proverbs 27:17 is iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. You get two people together, even if they love each other, sparks will fly every now and then. Sparks, the reason those sparks are flying, that's metal that's been cut away, that's been keeping you dull and ineffective. You cannot sharpen a lawnmower blade or an axe blade without sparks flying. What are you doing? I'm cutting away metal that has gotten dull over use, over time, and I'm cutting it away to make it sharp again. And so what happens is sometimes communication is tough because you're communicating truth. You know, the Bible talks about a good friend. You know, a good friend is somebody that tells you you've got dander from bad breath. They'll tell you the truth. But you've got to be willing to receive the truth from somebody. You know, and that's really what the arguing is. That's where you just keep getting defensive and angry when something like that happens. Number 11 says, my marriage would be better if we shared in the decision-making. Shared in the decision-making. We're going to see several of these sort of go together. You know, if God's made two of you one, you shouldn't be making any decisions without consulting the other person. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm the head, I'm the man, I can decide what I want to do. Well, no, that's not what God says. God's given a helpmeet, guys, to help us make those decisions. A helpmeet is not somebody who helps somebody smarter than them. A helpmeet, according to the Hebrew, is somebody who enables somebody to do something that without them they couldn't get it done. And so what happens when you come into this thing, it's like, if you're going to make a decision, that's why you ought to have a family night where you sit down and plan out the next week or the next month, the next quarter. Here's where we're going to go. Here's what needs to be done. Here's a schedule of the kids. Let's talk about the schedule because I'm telling you, people hate surprises unless there's a bow attached to the top of it. Humans do not like surprises. They just don't. You want to upset somebody, especially your spouse, throw something on them after they've got their day planned out and they're already running pretty much at full speed and try to dump something extra. So don't be making major decisions without consulting the other person and getting their input. There's wisdom and a multitude of counselors, not because everybody agrees, but because everybody sees the mountain from a different viewpoint. You're going to see something I'm not going to see. Now, this isn't one of those things where I smart, you stupid, you smart, I stupid. This is where, tell me what you think about this. Give me some input. So you should always share in the decision-making process in every area of your life.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.